The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Good afternoon, Mr. Watson Duke. How are you, sir?
Not too bad at all, my brother. Not too bad at all.
Well, you're speaking to Mr. Davey Murray here on Freedom. My apologies about the camera. We are in a...
I had to use my phone to log on my computer. Just wasn't opening up his camera nor
Allow me to apologize to you for not having a camera in studio at this time. We're in a backup studio at this time, so it doesn't have a camera. We should be going back to our studios in a few weeks, so bear with me on this one, all right? First of all, I want to say thank you very much for joining us here this afternoon. Now, it would be remiss of me to not talk, to not kick off the conversation with the one of the most latest things that happened recently with licensed officers coming on the island in a bid to fight crime or bring some sort of structure to the traffic woes or the traffic violations that would be perceived to be happening in Tobago. What is your take on that, sir?
All right. So, frankly, I believe that the licensed officers came to Tobago as part of the national thrust, which is to have vehicles in a roadworthy condition. And in addition to that, to prevent vehicular accidents, etc. So they came to do their job, to help those in Tobago. From time to time, when you have a large exercise, that will happen. Myself being a member of the public service and also a representative of these workers. What we find happening, however, is that the good of the licensed officers became something that was evilly spoken of, with a sense of evil. And that gave the wrong impression of licensed officers, something that they would not want for themselves. And it gave the wrong impression to Tobagonians, something they will not want from the public service. So the public service that they rendered had become something nauseating, something very sick and disturbing. I would say it was provoking. So as a result of that, their very presence became something that was distasteful, something that people detested, and they had to go. They could not remain there. They had to go.
You know, when I look at the struggles that the country between Trinidad and Tobago that we are facing, you know, with this runaway crime situation, I look at the struggle that we as a citizenry feel. I look at the struggle that the government is trying to grapple with the crime situation. And I think to myself that this government, they do not, I believe they have exhausted all that they can. They do not have a proper remedy to give to the citizens to bring back a sense of security to us. And therefore, they have now looked at other areas in which is in my opinion, I'm not looking at it from a myopic, through myopic lens. I am realizing that this whole roadblock and tint law and all these laws that was already there in terms of the demerit system and all these things, they are treating this so-called cure like antibiotics in your body, where it does not know good and bad cells, it kills cells. It's like chemotherapy for cancer. So you are harassing the good citizens in the bid to fight crime against the criminal elements. And you're saying that those measures, dark tint and a car that doesn't have an insurance sticker, a inspection sticker, these cars, the individuals of these cars are criminal. That's what I'm getting from this government. And that is when I listen to your video talking to about Mr. Fali Augustine, the head of the THA, asking him what is happening, he would have had talks with the minister, with the Security Council, of course, the Prime Minister, the chairman. Yes. And Tobago still don't have the help. You all have reached 19 murders, which has combined with Trinidad murders as well, taken us well over 374 murders for the year. Watson Duke, what is your thoughts and what do you think that Mr. Augustine needs to do? You mentioned something about the Tobago home loan. And I like that thought, but it shouldn't be just Tobago. Eh? That's a TNT home loan. I like the idea where you was going with that. I listened to you this morning properly. Tobago Homeland Security thing, which is a private entity working in tandem and collaboration with the police service. But how do you see those two things? One, what do you think Fali needs to address urgently for the island? And how do you perceive that this Homeland Security would work in tandem with the police?
Well, permit me to say that Fali is now spoiled. He's now a spoiled chief secretary, and all of his good will only amount to failings. His head got too big too fast. All the your honorable and people bowing to him and kissing his hand and worshiping him. He failed to serve the people of Tobago, and now he's totally lost. I've reviewed my social media page for the day, and the attacks people are making against Fali, even I had to correct him. He has gone into my district right after the thing happened, hot on the ground, blood on the ground, scene is still a crime scene. The police has not arrived yet. He started chiding the police. The very police he's working with, he's saying that they did not protect the crime scene. Then he turned to the people in the village and say he asked them questions and they did not answer. And I mean, he's going on a road of a totalitarian little boy. Not just a man with sense, but a totalitarian little boy who does not know what he's doing. As I said, my people are not there to answer your questions, and they have a right to say, we're not answering your thing. Because if the police cannot protect them, how could he protect them?
Government
days, for a man to be convicted of murder, there must be a witness in that.
True.
Yes, sir? There must be a witness. If you are no witness or convicting a man of murder on circumstantial evidence, not so easy. And so, if you pretending you're going to be a witness to that, they're going to kill you too. So people have to know that until the police begin to do police and they feel brave enough, they can come out. Until such time, let's create Tobago Homeland Security, which is a private organization, right? It's private, but private in the sense that it is separate from the public service, almost like a quasi public organization, but private in a sense, where they will be able to monitor the movements of streets, the cars on the streets, people on the streets. They'll have face recognition camera.
Mr. Duke, isn't the police service already responsible for those things that you're mentioning?
Yeah, but the police service is not as, it's not as, I'm going to choose my words wisely. It's not as upful, from the word upful and serious as they should be. Some are serious in the police service, some are not serious. As you know, what happens in any organization that is run by a public sector, people tend to say, but once I get my API, good.
Yeah, true,
so
true.
What we need in order for a crime to take on is seriousness. You need to have persons who are responsible, and you're paying them for the service, for monitoring, evaluating, and of data.
But you said, right? you use the word private. Is that separate and apart? Is that governmental funded, or is that private sector funded? When you say private,
it's a public-private partnership, I would say, because no public sector would be able to do it all alone. So it has a government interest in it, but it's managed by the private sector.
Okay.
Right? They manage it.
Okay. Something like Crime Stoppers.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So the government has an interest. They give it funding, etc. But they ensure that it's private sector. They don't take on a responsibility per se. Yeah. And by doing that, you will find that the information is responsible for solving crime will be more forthcoming. Because these persons will go around and they will. I don't want to give too much information how it should be set up. Because when I stand up and I said to them, look, we ought to have persons in the community who are paid for the use of the camera. Once you have the camera that covers the roadway, we will pay you to use your camera. Yeah? The camera on the roadway. So it's a kind of public-private partnership.
They
will pay you. So every human being with a camera by the roadway will get a certain amount of money when the man come. And so therefore, they're not paying you when the camera pick up something they want. They're paying you continuously. So that feeds back into the police or the Homeland Security cameras, where they can monitor all the streets. So all of those vehicles that pulling out without proper ID numbers, etc., number plates, etc., they would be able to pick up all of that, retrace the steps, see where it come from, where it's going, they would be able to monitor people from a time as step out of your home. And they would encourage persons also who want to be part of the whole Homeland Security issue to put cameras outside of their building.
Yes, yes.
And that's an easy pay. That's easy money. Exactly. Make a month.
But then when you have a... I don't mean to cut you here, but I want to get so much information with you. I want to get so much information with you in this space of time we have. I don't know if I get any after the news. But the thing is, when you look at a government that continuously says to us that we do not have money in the treasury, we don't have no money, you keep hearing that. How are we going to fund these private citizens? Because they are citizens who want to talk, you know, they want to tell you what's happening. But as you rightfully say, they are scared. So how do we fund this when the Prime Minister and his cohorts are saying we don't have money?
It's simple. The answer is we need to get rid of the government, straight up.
Mm.
A government must prioritize national security even before food. Because if the people are not safe, then nothing is safe.
True
nothing
that.
In the country is safe. You have to protect the country. And you begin to protect the country from the outside, from the waters, come all, and the airspace, come all the way into land. That's where protection begins first. You seal your country off. Basics in national security. You seal your country off from the waters and the airspace. Come right into the center of the land. And unless they are doing that, they are wasting time.
Mm-hmm.
We have coastguard boats in Tobago without gas. And sometimes they have gas, but they have no boats. You can imagine that the pirogues in the coastguard are much slower than many people with boats here. So we want to change that. But again, somebody's getting paid because the drugs passing in, the gun passing in. And I'm saying this thing has become so big, so big, that people are paid just to look the other way. And say, well, they didn't see nothing. You don't have to touch it again. Just don't see it. And once you don't see it, you get your money coming to you. Cash. You cannot have security officers who are poorly trained and poorly paid. It's a bad concoction. You know what I mean? So you have to pay your security personnel very well, number one. They must be paid well, have good retirement packages. They must have good healthcare packages, etc. Must have the best uniforms, the best equipment to carry the duties, technical, etc., whatever. They must have all of these things because you have to prioritize your security services. I believe if I'm given a chance to lead this country, I will start from ground zero. I'm going to be very, very, very hard, trust me. Very hard.
But Agladia mentioned that.
Very hard.
While we're talking crime on the forefront, it would be remiss of me to not ask you this question. Eh? Should you become the country's next prime minister? It's a twofold question. One, how would you address the current situation with the demerits? I mean, I'm not against demerits. Here's where my thought is. I think at a 9-point threshold is too little, right? Because a person can get that 9 points in one ticket or in two based on the amount of points they're allocating per infraction. So that 9-point threshold, because if you get three tickets in 24 months, that does not put you in a habitual state. And let me explain to you how you can get three tickets in 24 months and you're not a habitual violator of the traffic laws. One, you get a seatbelt ticket, 4 points. So in January, you would have forgotten to put on your seatbelt, or you're just about to put it on, you get a ticket. Whap, 4 points. At the end of the year, that same year, that is almost 12 months later, you would have gotten a ticket because you held your phone in your hand. So you end up with another 3 points, 4 and 3, 7. And 9 months into the other year, almost, let's say, you're coming down to almost November. Let me go there. You come now and, you know, you won't be frustrated that day, you're coming up the road, and you happen to just pull on the shoulder and you get a ticket because you were probably trying to reach home quick or something, you was a little late for work, you take a chance. Right. That's three tickets in 20, you notice the time frame I give you. You ain't get them three tickets in 3 weeks' time, eh? It take months, which means you are not habitual, but you get the three tickets and for different infraction, not the same one repeatedly, and it bring you up to 10 points, you're going to lose your license for 6 months. That is where I have a problem. That's one. And two, would you use politicians that are already in the system, or are you going to bring in a fresh 41 under the people, the PDP, in order to govern this country, should you be made the next political leader, the next prime minister of Trinidad and Tobago? So that's a twofold question. How will you tackle that, where citizens are feeling oppressed by these harsh traffic violation laws? And would you use recycled politicians, or are you going to usher in fresh individuals?
Nice. Thank you so much for this strong and learned question. With regard to the politicians, once I have the two seats in Tobago, I expect to win the two seats in Tobago, I'll be in a position to negotiate with one of the two larger bodies in Trinidad. Whichever presents the deal that Tobago would win and Trinidad and Tobago would win by extension would be the party I would support, and the party would make me the prime minister, or I would support a prime minister as the case may be. I'm not too big on just being a prime minister for a paycheck or a rank. I'm big on making the country a country where people win, where ordinary citizens win. There are two things that are as a hangman noose around the public. One is tax, and two is the merit point. They like a hangman noose. People are being taxed, they can't even see the pay. Right? I mean, not talking about a $70,000 personal income tax, a personal tax deduction where they don't tax you at all, right? Your tax are tax-free.
Yeah.
We are saying that I believe that certain persons, a certain salary bracket, should not be taxed at all. Certain people. That's because you want to build your economy. You cannot build your economy by taxing your workers who are already senior than them and not receiving a decent salary increase. So once I get into office, I will look at the financial figures. And I will extend the non-tax bracket much further than that. Much further than that. I would think decently, a person like anybody working for like under $15,000 should not be taxed at all, right? These are the persons that need to build the economy by spending more of what they have into the economy, thus creating domestic consumption.
Right.
So we will deal with that.
Right.
I will have to work with one of the two teams, like I said before, but the team is not to bully anyone or not to have anyone bully me. I'll be a very firm and strong leader anywhere I show up. Anyway, I show up, expect me to be firm, expect me to be strong, but this time I'm not walking away at all. We're going to fight it out. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to fight it out because I'm here to serve, and I will ensure the people of Trinidad and Tobago are served properly. So therefore, would it be the UNC or the PNM, it will not be the same. Because once you throw a liquid into another liquid, it is not the same. It must change. Mm-hmm. And they're going to feel that change from day one. From day one, they're going to feel my presence there, because me and come to rampant and me and fear nobody. All right? So make it absolutely clear, I'm not too big on being prime minister, but I'm big on ensuring the ordinary citizens win. Let's deal with the tax. Let people tax money so that it makes sense at least, right? Secondly, on the whole demerit system, that should be suspended for like 6 months. We need to go back to a more humane and friendly approach and get people to want to obey the law for themselves and not being afraid of the law. Because in this case, Trinidad and Tobagonians, when they are afraid of the law, it doesn't cause them to be. It just causes them to play hide and seek. All right? And it's not what you want your law to be. Your law shouldn't be something a man wants to hide from. A man should naturally want to obey laws like that. So when the lights are turned off and no one is watching, you must naturally want to obey. And if you are driving fast, that it must be a real emergency, something that can be explained before a court, as the case may be. But I don't think it should be used as a punitive thing to rock back and laugh and take away people's license. No, there are more serious issues than that we have to look at as a nation. And I think more effort should be placed in those areas. The areas of crime, the areas where people can't buy food, the areas of education, the areas of healthcare. These are serious areas. And if we have to give doctors and nurses the merit points, if we have to give public servants the merit points, if we have to give police service and the teachers and all these persons the merit points, we'll have nobody in the country to do anything, because all of them will fail. All right? So let's get the country pumped up. Let's get people paid well, and let's hold them to a very high standard. I believe in that. Holding people to a very high standard. Where the lines are clear.
I hear you on that. And there's an old saying that two borat can live in the same hole. Now, you mentioned that any one of the main parties you are willing to align yourself with. Now, let's take a look at Kamala Prasad Bisesa to begin with. We would have seen a structure where she would have already embraced the idea before of a partnership. The people, and they govern this country for a five-year period, various heads and so forth. We have never seen that type of partnership formed under the PNM. Do you believe that Dr. Keith Christopher Rowley will be willing to partner with you? And if he is, do you think that your strong assertiveness, how do you plan to exercise that with a leader such as Dr. Rowley? Because he's not an easy walkover, and he is a fellow that will stand up against whatever it is and look to get you out. That is the type of prime minister we have. Believe it or not. How are you going to face up that?
Kudos to him, my fellow Tobagonian. But let it be known that some people bring with them a presence, they bring with them a certain level of authority. That goes without saying. I know Dr. Rowley, he knows me well enough. And I can say to you, I can work with Dr. Rowley, I can work with Kamala, I can work with any one of them. But they will know from day one that when I step inside a dance, everything changes. Everything changes.
And that is what I hear in you say. I believe, I'm going to be real with you. I believe that under the stewardship of Kamala Prasad Bisesa, you would find where you guys will be able to work. I mean, she has tried it before. She was not afraid to try it. But somehow, boy, I feel you're going to be running into a serious electrical disturbance. Because
well, I'm prepared to fight it up.
I'm back in you.
This end walking away from nothing. And you see, I walk away from Tobago because I wanted to save Tobago, being a quiet and a place where all are we are one family.
Do you regret that decision? Do you regret that decision?
I think it happened for the best. People have actually seen that all of them, all 17 of them in Tobago, are a bunch of failures. All of them. A bunch of children, and they have no moment. They have not done one thing that is valuable to Tobago. So Tobago have seen it. And I try to tell Tobago that they would not have believed me. Their heart is sweet themselves. A waste of time, all of them. Complete waste of time. The idea was that they would have worked with me, and we would have made Tobago a better place because people need leadership. Now, Rowley has done well as a leader. He has done well. But Rowley is an old leader. He's an old leader. If he wants to lead, fine. But when I come inside the dance, you have to respect me straight up as that from day one. You know, me and Demarest Asola is delimited. I'm a different man, you know. I'm young. I'm my prime, you know. Despite that gray hair, I'm my prime. And so he can't talk to me if he wants because I'm coming there with seats that have power within them. And my two seats will determine who the prime minister is if they want a law pass. And I'm not going to come inside there and walk around the place carelessly, drink from everybody, eat from everybody. No. I know when I come there, I am the prize. So me and drinking and eating with them, me and laughing with them too much. I come to work and I do my work. Yeah.
How would your party treat with the situation in Venezuela, where we are expecting an influx of migrants coming across our island because of the political impasse in Venezuela? Should you get into office, how would you treat with a situation as that?
Well, I say that one, I'll have to wait until I get into office to look at the dynamics, because information will allow a person to make better decisions. If I'm to make a decision now, it will be purely on emotion. Sometimes the information weighs so heavily that the thing you say you wouldn't do, you'll find yourself doing because the weight of the information
that you're now privileged to.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. Let's take a call for you. Good afternoon.
Right here.
Good afternoon, Davy.
Good afternoon, sir.
And good afternoon, sir, comrade. Yeah.
Comrade,
sir, good evening. Yes, sir.
I want to find out from you, where will you get the funds to pay these public servants, you say, pay them good and give them puts and nice retirement package and so forth? Where are you going to get that funds from in terms of doing that? And that's one of my questions. And number two,
the treasury.
Mm-hmm. The treasury,
of course.
Well, right now we're running a deficit budget. So how are you going to be borrowing more money to pay?
Well, the question we need to answer before we set a deficit budget, where is the money going to? Every year we spend $60 billion. Where is the money going to? Who is stealing the money? We have a bunch of thieves operating our country for years, you know. Right?
Mm-hmm. That is not subjective. Mr. Duke, that is subjective.
It's very subjective. It's very subjective, of course. It's very subjective. But $60 billion? Where in Port of Spain reflects $60 billion? Where in South reflect that? Where
okay, in I want that? To ask you this question now. In terms of the THA Act, what you wanted to implement there, that parallel home security, does the Act covers for that?
The Act allows for THA to create these special purpose companies, right? And have them operating. So there are many special purpose companies in Tobago, the cassava factory and all kind of thing. There are a lot of those things created. It's like Trinidad and Tobago creating a special purpose company that is not a public service company, but it's a company that exists. Like when you look at Unicut, it's a public company, right? But it's already a public servants per se. Yeah?
Okay, I understand that. In terms of, you was asking about money just now, give us a breakdown. In terms of recurring expenditure, the budget that Tobago gets, how much of that goes into recurring expenditure? So people can get a view.
Well, they claim $2 billion goes into recurrent expenditure. I don't see it at all. The average person that lives in Tobago is about 40,000. Let's say 60. It's inflated figures, not real. I never say 60,000 people here in my life yet. Understand?
Mm.
I never see that in my life here yet. We have about 40,000 people living here. Most people when they leave here, they're going out with a plane and the name is still on the register to come and vote. And they will check that year after year. But people not here, people leaving here. There's nothing to do in Tobago.
But then, hold on, Kadeem. You made a statement that there's nothing to do in Tobago. Right now, Tobago seems to be infested with crime. Fally Augustine made a pronouncement saying that we don't want you here, or they go from here, etc., right? We get that. We have people in San Fernando with criminals leaving the Port of Spain area and going down there. We don't want them there neither. I hear that. Now, when it comes to boosting the economy on the island of Tobago, That is much to be done, because you are now admitting that persons are vacating the island, seeking betterment elsewhere. What do you think the THA needs to do right now in order to boost the economy on the island of Tobago? Tobago is supposed to be a tourism destination. What has Trinidad, what has the government, what has the THA done within recent times to at least boost the tourism part or the tourism sector? Nowhere on the island you could get an all-inclusive package. Nowhere. They believe in sandals. Sandals is Jesus Christ coming to Tobago. I say hogwash. So tell me what would you do? What would you do in dealing with the revenue income on the island to help people stay on the island, work and live there and attract foreign? You all are building a big international airport. For what purpose? You're about to talk the road that they build. I was there recently and I see the road. You about to talk the road at the connecting. You say that could go to to fighting crime. So let's talk about boosting the economy, the financial economy on the island. Talk to me.
But David, just to interject here quickly,
mm-hmm.
before I go.
Yeah.
You have to understand that the development that's going on in Tobago, one is central government, and then you have THA, because the airport expansion is done by central government.
Right.
We have no say in that.
Of course not.
Mr. Duke, am I correct?
Yeah, right.
Right.
Correct.
So in terms of what happens is that Tobago, there's still a greater part in terms of central government dictating how Tobago works in terms of the development of Tobago. So if you see police station being built in Tobago, it's not necessarily the THA doing that. It is central government. And as you talk about tourism, you have three companies here, and it seems as though all of them are grossly inept. You're just creating a company in terms of for tourism. But are you really getting the tourists to come here? Look at Jamaica, for example. The murder rate in Jamaica for last year was almost 1,500. But you almost had close to 2 million, I think, tourists went to Jamaica.
True.
So you have to look at how you're going to put things in place to get people to go to the location. But just before I go, I wanted to ask Mr. Duke this question. how much persons you think will need to be employed in this homeland security that you think should be created in Tobago? Davey Agona,
thank you very much. That's a very good question, Mr. Duke.
A very good question, but I don't think I could sit here and answer that question. It's unfair to me to say how many persons, but it will be a large amount of persons because it's a 24-hour job.
Mm-hmm.
It's careful examination of data, which means that one man looking at 20 monitors. We have it almost meticulous monitoring of monitors, etc., and even the information, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to work with international agencies who will supply the technical resources mm-hmm. required to track that data and to also monitor that. But let me get back to one of the questions I've asked earlier about tourism in Tobago. I want to broaden it a bit. Tourism in Trinidad and Tobago is suffering tremendously because of visionless people who are leading our tourism.
Agreed.
Tourism requires much more than soca. Soca is nice, but soca is not nice enough to make it on the billboard outside, right?
Well said.
It's not nice enough to make it a Grammy. So that means
well said.
It's no big thing. Calypso, no big thing. It's still an occupation for the small man.
That's right.
So just whine and jiggle and whine and jiggle and whine and jiggle. Until we can make it internationally, I want to say, I'm not talking about the one and two little occasion, we have Carnival here, Carnival, no. When we can make it internationally to be recognized on the Grammy or on the BET Awards, right, as, and I'm careful when I'm saying, not as our little singers here, but in a very big way where people listen to your tune all about the place, right around the clock, then we're inside. To do that, which will require us to change the way in which we do it. We have to make it now for the international community. You know how long they're creating Afrobeats? It's only recent Afrobeats become a big thing, you know?
It is a huge thing, yeah.
Yeah, that big thing now. You know how long hip-hop was created, how long rap music was created? Since in the 80s, 70s, 80s, yeah? Mm-hmm. But it took a personality to make it big, larger than life. These personalities that drive these tunes into the international realm. You have to become a personality. And a personality that is so large that people can't miss it anywhere you go. And so that's one of the reasons we're having now for tourism. Tourists are fed up at the jig and the wine and dancing, fed up at that. They see that in every single place. Can we do something else different? Yes. Tourists want to know that when they come to Trinidad and Tobago, there are as much daytime activities as nighttime activities. So what I did, I went to my community, I consulted with the members of my community, and we created a plan called the City of Roxburgh. There is no city in Tobago. It's a Scarborough, it's a town. There is no city. We would convert in Roxburgh from the second town to a city. There would have been about 5 islands placed in the sea, called Marina Islands. There would have been a new airport on one of those islands, a new boat port. There would have been, those islands would have been operating by, with certain international laws,
mm-hmm.
just to create a different kind of feeling, you know? So we would have had one island looking like American kind of island. We have mm-hmm. all the American, some of the American big landmarks there. Another island looking at Europe, some of the European landmarks,
mm-hmm.
something looking like China, something looking like the Arabian countries, et cetera. You want to create diversity, and even one of the islands looking like India. You want to create interest. When someone is traveling, they want to know where their culture can be appreciated, all right?
Mm-hmm.
They want to know that even if I leave home, I want to look at something that reminds me of home. So in America, once there is a Caribbean Day, a lot of Caribbean people tend to show up because they want to congregate. They want to feel as if though they are outside, they can feel as if they're inside. So that's one of the things that will boost our tourism.
All right, Mr. Duke, I want you to put a pin right there. I want to keep you a little about 10 minutes after the newscast. We're just about a minute and some seconds for the news. And I want to just hold on to you for a little bit so that I can invite at least 2 callers to have a little quick dialogue with
no problem.
Before you go. And we'll talk just after the newscast, about 2 minutes after the news. We should get back interactive and continue our discussion. Folks, it is the Overdrive here on Freedom 106.5 FM. The political leader of the PDP is on with us this afternoon. And we get a chance to chat with him respectfully. And I'm saying that respectfully. All right. When we call in, we would ask, you know, whatever concerns you have, let's get that. Let's have that conversation going. We're still talking crime. And I want to talk to you about the Obia. in Tobago that they was looking for. So we're coming back with more. Stick and stay. We do have with us in on the line this afternoon the political leader of the Progressive Democratic Patriots, Watson Duke. Good afternoon again, Mr. Duke.
Good afternoon, my brother.
Welcome back. So 625-2257, or you can send your WhatsApp to 306-1065. We have a few minutes again with Mr. Duke before he departs, and we would invite you at any point to give us a call and raise any concerns or issues you may have. We kick things off with this first caller. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Duke. Mr. Duke,
yes, sir.
Do you believe that the existence of international flights to Tobago and Tobago Airport has a large responsibility for the explosion of crime on the island? Because I do know, I read in the newspaper some time ago, that persons who are native to Tobago had been sent to Britain because they were caught storing drugs on the plane. So tell me something, is this a drawing card for the gangs? And if that's the case, what's your recommendation to treat with it?
All right, thank you, caller. Watson, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, the international flights at the airport has nothing to do with crime. Crime has to do with persons wanting to make a statement. Sometimes people engage in crime to protest against the government. Sometimes it's a crime of passion. Sometimes they're in a gang and they can't come out and they have to do as they are told, or else they will lose their life, or they feel threatened, or they have lost someone and they feel it's a crime of revenge. They have to get it's a number of things. Crime is a social issue. And if we have to solve crime, we cannot keep treating with the symptoms of crime, which is the death, the chop up, the robbery, the rape, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That is all the symptoms. Crime begins in the mind. And how do we take the mind of the person who is idle and create someone who is involved and someone who sees himself as a shareholder, as a builder of the society and a shape of tomorrow? We have to really get that type of thinking inculcated. And so therefore we say we need more social workers in the primary school,
mm-hmm.
more social workers in the high school,
mm-hmm.
more social workers even in the workplace. So when persons are drifting, they can be picked up by these social workers and pointed in the right direction where they can gain help. A lot of workplaces also have what is called an employee assistance program, where employees receive assistance. Even mm-hmm. those persons mm-hmm. working on the daily paid gangs ought to have access mm-hmm. to the employee assistance. If they've been stressed out, they could find someone who is safe, someone who could talk to, someone who will point them in the wrong direction. There's no way to go in our society, nowhere to go. And we have a lot of people who are cranked up and ready for a revolution. What they're fighting their own unhappiness, their own state of mind. And we have to be very careful of those persons. When a person is ready, anything could set them off. Anything.
Indeed so. Hello, good afternoon.
Mr. Duke. Yes, sir. I'm a Trinidadian. I can't vote for you because you're going up.
Yes, sir.
You might go up into Tobago. But I want you to win the 2 seats and they will make you prime minister. And if you
thank
happen
you,
to be prime minister, you see that dreaded property tax? Get rid of it. Throw it in the Pacific Ocean. That and the crime situation in Trinidad and Tobago, please, I will support you.
All
see
right.
you could do with that. Crime and that property tax. Thank you.
Trinidad supporting
you. I love
you.
The point.
But
if I could just speak on the...
Uh-huh, go ahead.
If I could just speak a little bit on the property tax. Let me see that Black people in Trinidad and Tobago, African people, have no right to pay no property tax whatsoever. None. And so I do not want to make it a matter of ethnic preferences. But you see, African people were stolen from their motherland, who was taught a different tongue, who was forced to labor here and given little or nothing after the end of slavery. We can't start talking repatriation. We have to start talking to these people here now and say, hey, they'll pay this amount of property tax, but not that amount. This amount, yes, but not that amount. We have to keep it at a minimum, bare minimum, just to see that they are paying for it, but not to exact out sufficient to us to run our country from property tax. Too much of Black people are suffering, especially Black people in Trinidad. Black people in Trinidad are not owners of land. In Tobago, our foreparents have been able to own land by attrition. You know what I mean? One man dead, they leave it for our next man dead, leave it for our next man, etc. But in Trinidad, my colleagues, my family don't need to do own land. They might have a house to buy and have a piece of comfort deed, which is a letter of comfort, but they do not own land. We have to teach our black people financial literacy. And by no means am I a racist, but I say black people need to be taught financial literacy, how to spend money. Where are the billionaires? Where are the black billionaires in Trinidad? There is not one black billionaire. Not one. We have people with a lot of millions, maybe 10 million, 20 million, 100 million, 200 million, but there are no black billionaires in Trinidad. We have it in every other ethnicity. When the black people get together in Trinidad and Tobago, they talk about underwear and brassé and woman and this kind of stuff. And they drink. When the other ethnicities come together, you know what they do? They discuss business first on the agenda. And after that, other matters.
Mm.
The same thing, you know, what you order. Business first. And after that, other matters. We just discuss other matters first. And then business after. By the time we're drunk and we're high and what kind of madness, cloud our brain, we want to discuss business.
Watson,
we have to revolutionize the whole black community.
Watson, the Prime Minister said, the rich have to get richer in order to possibly make opportunities for the poor. What are your thoughts on that?
I do not support that. I believe that we have to put more money in poor people's hands and teach them financial literacy from primary school up. They have to know the use of money, the power of money, and how to use it. That is something that must be taught to our black people. We are a failure throughout the world, you know. There is no black man haven. Go to South Africa, go to any African countries, what you see there is what the colonial masters have built up or what they mortgage from China. We are yet to create a haven for ourselves where we build and where we are so much successful. The world keep attacking us, but we have to now come together and fight for a better country for all people, but in particular for the black man who is underneath and cannot rise up. I am a man for black people. My wife is mixed. I have Indian friends. I have nothing against that. I love Indian people. I love Chinese people. I love everybody. But see, my people, I have to look after them too. I cannot lead them to the wolves and pretend that they do exist. They exist. And they are affected by society that is stacked against them. They need to have money in their hands so they could spend more and do more for themselves.
I think that's a cultural inbred that we have, you know. I think due to slavery and the fact that we were forced to be separated, you know, when you look at the East Indian community, Chinese, they keep families together. When your children grow up, go and get your own. You must move out. The bird get wings.
Yeah.
We always ready to let our children leave the nest because we can't wait for them to get big and go. We do not have a culture, and that's a fact, you know. And I believe it comes down from slavery because in slavery, we were separated by the slave masters,
right,
you know, and all these kind of things, you know. But I was particularly peeved by Dr. Rowley's statement on that issue of making the rich richer. We understand in a capitalist society such as ours how the thing does go. You have the filthy rich and the dirt poor, so to speak. We understand that. It's not a socialist society we're living in. This is not communism. But to make a pronouncement like that, it tells a nation that you do not really, I mean, from a, maybe from the eyes and from his lens, he's seeing that the rich have to continue to grow in the hopes. He didn't say so that they have to, eh? It wasn't a mandate. Yeah. If the rich get richer, they will create up. We hope that when the rich get richer, we could satisfy poverty a little bit, you know. We could come together and we could feed people, we could satisfy poverty. But how could we satisfy the greed of the wealthy who continues to figure out that they don't have enough and they need more? How do we satisfy that greed, that urge to want to gain another dollar and another dollar? When would they say we have enough money, let's give back? How often do we hear that? When are they going to say that?
Dr.
Rowley needs to understand is how do we satisfy them? Because as we can be satisfied on the ground, you know, you give us some food, as you say, a decent wage, and we are satisfied. We would live and we will be all right. But those up there who, I don't know, when they're dead, if they just go down there and spend it, I don't know.
Greed, my brother. Greed, greed, greed.
How greed. Do we satisfy this that thirst? Yeah.
This country needs a radical leader who is for the people. It's time that we put more money in poor people's hands and teach them how to spend this money. We have been putting money in the rich man's hands. When the rich man gets all this money, what do you think he's going to do with it? Bank it. Go into more business. When the poor man gets the money, he goes by the rich man, spends his money, and he goes home smiling, saying he's happy.
He buys something.
He does something for his family.
Yeah.
Look something, I bring something for you.
Yeah.
You know, the rich man gets his money, put it in a bank, put it out of the country, invest money all around the world.
Even help his others. But let me ask you this question. With the crime situation escalating on the island of Tobago, are you of the firm belief that it would have stemmed from individuals from Trinidad making their way across the seas to your island?
No, not necessarily. Guns are coming to Tobago as guns are coming to Trinidad and all the Caribbean countries. Guns are targeting the Caribbean countries now. Whenever guns come into the country, because people are trying to create unrest. That's why guns come into our country. Not necessarily for drugs alone, but to create unrest in our country. Whosoever is planning a war is also planning a war among Caribbean countries. So there's an intent to destabilize the Caribbean countries through violence, etc. That is not something that I think the governments of the Caribbean are treating seriously. All of them live in a palatial house. They eat their 3 square meals. They have more than I could wish for. And they are more intent on keeping positions under their big thumb. For me, I'm a youth. Not a youth, but I'm a youth. And I believe that people should live better. And I want persons to live better. And I'm fighting for persons to live better. It's not about me. I don't want no guns in my country. You have guns, my friend? We're going to make it attractive for you. Guns. Bring in your guns and get a walk. You know what I mean? We make it attractive for you that you don't even want to shoot, because I want all them guys who consider themselves to be bad boys, I want them to get cell phone, to get a house, get a woman, get children, and start to feel what life is. They must jump in a plane and go down Chagaramas, jump in a plane and go up Shalaville. They must be able to live life, walk, and feel safe. Because once you begin to get a taste of what freedom is, real happiness is, you will not go back to that type of life. The truth is, they have been born in a cycle of violence, a cycle of poverty, and the only time it has get to the top is when a man put a big old chain around the neck and say, go and kill a man for me. Put a shoes on the foot and say, go in and come with me to dance. And the only time that feel free is when they get a 1,000 gunmen around them. We need to make every citizen in our country feel safe. And you need to take hard and drastic measures against those who are willfully, and I use the word willfully, trying to make the place unsafe, trying to create unrest. And those persons must be dealt with.
I agree.
And I understand why a man does fight, but we need to take away the reason for fighting and let's start loving each other as brothers and sisters.
A man is texting me here on my WhatsApp saying, I'm very impressed with Mr. Duke's discourse this afternoon. Never thought he could have been so level-headed. Another one says, Mr. Duke, I am pleasantly surprised by the way you have spoken this afternoon. Thank you for coming on Davey's program. Another one says, Davey, another excellent interview with Mr. Watson Duke. Maybe he needs to come to Trinidad and really put that to the test. One is saying here that that's why the PNM had a chance to make that change to assist black people 45 years in government, you know. And with that being said, Mr. Duke, I know that you're dread. I know that you're a ruthless fella. One of my earlier memories of you is walking into one particular bank, racking up, was it 10 million in some bags? I can't remember how much millions in some bags, and cross the street and go on the next bank and make a deposit. I mean, that is real Al Capone business. You know, you walk in and take out your money. You sit down there for a few hours. I wait for your cash. I want my money. Bring the money for me, please. And you rack up your money and you move, you know. And I remember that about you. So I know you would be a force to reckon with. But I am not satisfied with your answer yet as it relates to the 41 constituencies that we have to go up for when it comes to general election. Yeah. I believe in my heart, Mr. Duke. But before I give you this, I'm going to take this call very quickly and I'll give you my pronoun. Hello, good afternoon.
Is there a quick thing? We're going to say what Mr. Duke was saying about his black people, his people. Would you be, you know, when one aspires to be a leader, right? You have a certain plan in mind, a certain vision in mind. For a man to have aspired to be a leader, and then became a leader by tag teaming Mr. Manning and then faking email with Kamala Prasad, for him to come and sit down and say what his job is to create opportunity for you to get richer, that's frightening, you know. That's frightening for a man to have had such thoughts in his mind, that's why I want to be a leader, and then come on and do that. That's frightening. Believe me, that's more frightening than you all could imagine. Mm-hmm. We're in trouble if you have a leader like that, who thinks like that. Thanks for the time.
Thank you very much. Listen, man, I know. I have my personal thoughts when it comes to the PNM, but I tell you earlier. But let me tell you something. Make me lose my train of thought there, yes, because I had something to tell you. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, David. Mr. Duke, good afternoon to you. Now, yes, you know, sir. I've always made the point about Watson Duke and the question of his development from the PSA to WASA to everything. And it's what somebody I was monitoring until that Tobago fiasco, you know, the end result is that you're a minority person. But you made a statement just now in relation to giving the poor man giving to the rich man. Now, I wanted to give context, because if I'm a businessman with a grocery and you consider me rich and the poor man is a customer, what I have to do with I giving him the money to save? Give me context more into it now, because I know it going on the whole question of making people rich, which is capitalism, which is what we live under. What area of in this country you're saying that rich people are getting things as opposed to the poor man and living good and the poor man living bad? What area? Show me that. Because that context just now, Mr. Duke, you know me, very respectful to you, but that particular context, I want to expand on it a little bit more, what you mean by that.
All right,
I'm not sure I understand the question. And DB, you want to explain the question to me?
Well, I am all a little, I was hoping you catch it, because I listened and I didn't understand it. So we would leave that for now. Eric, you can call back. We'll leave it for now. Fali demands radical and serious action from the police in Tobago, turning it upside down. But before I make that pronouncement, I wanted to share this thought with you. I believe that politicians come into the realm of politics to do good. You sound well this afternoon, Mr. Watson, but here's my problem. You see the recycled stalwarts, these political luminaries that existed since Adam was a boy? When you bring in the new ones into the political landscape and they join offices and ranks with you, I believe they want to do well. But then they meet up people like Colin Imbert and others who will tell them, hey, slow your roll. I know how it is work here. You know why I could make that statement? Coming from a corporate entity that I worked for many, many years, there was a gentleman that rose to the ranks of EVP, Executive Vice President of this particular company that's partly owned by the state as well as private. And he came through the ranks, down in the trench hole with the regular workers. He moved up to supervisor. Then he became a manager. Then he became an HOD, which is the head of department. He would have continued to propel his way up to the top as EVP. When he became EVP of outside plant operations, we were all happy because we knew that we had someone who went through the trenches, who understands us on the ground. We on the poles, we run in the, we doing the work. And you know what's one of the things that was said to me? When the gentleman reached up there and wanted to do this and say, listen, he's now in a position to make a decision and to push there, he met up with some stalwarts. We let him know, hey, you reach upstairs now, partner. Have some cognac. Sit down on that chair. Let the AC blow on your face and let them people tickle your toes with a feather. Relax yourself. We up here, everything is for us. We had a CEO that was brought into this country who could not understand how you could treat workers this particular way, and yet When they did the job and you get your, you know, the tips and the bonuses, you beat your chest as a EVP and say, yes, I was able to do the job, but you didn't do nothing. So the thing about it is this. I say that to tell you this. If you do not bring in new political luminaries to your party and throw them out in every constituency, and I believe you can, if we have a Tobagonian that came from Mason Hall and he's now in Whitehall, you coming from Tobago could do the same thing. The only difference with you, you probably might have it a little harder because you now have to put people. He joined a party that was already existing. So I am asking, how are you going to make that happen? I hear you're fighting for two seats, you know. But what happened to the remaining 39, sorry. What happened to the remaining 39? Mm-hmm. Where's the position?
Well, the idea is, I've made an entrance into Trinidad in 2023. I've made an entrance in the Port of Spain area. The idea is to progress in a real slow but sure way, because Trinidad requires a type of money that my finances wouldn't allow. I'm a self-funded person. Mm. I mean, I hardly get funds from anybody at all. 90% of the money I put into the campaign come from my pocket, sweat and labor, right? So I really can't at this point in time. I've lost big time tremendously with Farley and Day. I've spent a lot of money, all my things, putting it in them inside, my savings, my pension, my whatever, and we won. But I've not even drank a Malta or sucker sweetie from these guys. I've not been able to employ one person, nothing at all. It's okay. It's okay, mm-hmm. because that's who they are, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. right? So now I'm building back. I want to take Tobago two seats. Those two seats will become the fulcrum of power for deciding who the next prime minister is. I am hoping that by me working, I will be able to work hard and impress upon the country and a whole, and then I will be given a greater opportunity at the next 5 years now to come with my own slate. And that's the way I intend to do it, step by step, inch by inch. You know, success won't happen overnight, but it's a journey that requires consistency and discipline.
Agreed.
And I'm trying my best to stay disciplined and be consistent insofar as they fight. Insofar as the guy who said some person come into office and they change, not Watson Duke. I'm the same man ever since I go in high school. Anybody know me in high school?
Same.
I'm the same man.
All man. Right. Good afternoon.
I never change.
Good afternoon, my brother Davey.
Good afternoon.
How are you this afternoon, sir?
Pleasantly surprised with Mr. Duke's conversation with me this afternoon.
We all are just came in, and fortunately I heard my uncle a while ago, so I decided that I would like to join this conversation. Mr. Duke.
Yes, sir.
That's a great issue. I will point it out. I had a discussion with Carrie sometime ago. Mr. Duke made a negotiation between 2010, 2011, or something, or 2013. Mm-hmm. And got 5%. Why didn't you decide with your 5%? You come back and you made that thing and you get 9. You get 4 more to make it 9. Soon from Trinidad to Tobago and went in Lavanty and all the constituency and tell them I'm coming back to spend some time with all your 2 weeks. 2 weeks in Lavantel, 2 weeks in Beetham, 2 weeks in Silat. Well, that can't happen here. So just recently, Mr. Duke is before the court and asking the court to release his money because he owing people and they seize his assets. So he would like access to his assets, if I'm not mistaken. And Mr. Duke also has a matter before the court, and a serious one at that. So I would believe, based on the cry of the opposition leader some time ago, and also brought a fellow Tobagonian in the parliament, a female, to tell us that our present prime minister is a rapist, without ever being charged or even being brought before the court, and we shouldn't vote for him based on that. I have this gentleman here presently now. So I would say the same thing the opposition leader said to Mr. Jack Warner. Mr. Duke, in order for you to get our votes, we'd like you to go and clear your name and come back, sir. Enjoy your evening, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you very much. I'll give you a minute to respond.
Well, I will just say to my brother that it doesn't work as that. The Constitution, which is the highest supreme law of the land, says the man is innocent until proven guilty.
Agreed.
You cannot suffer and be treated as if you are guilty when the case has not been proven. And there's a time for that in the court. When that time comes, that will decide. But you know what tragedy would occur if a man has to not live his life at all, can't get a job, can't move, is totally immobile. And then years from now, 30 years from now, he's proven innocent. He would have lost his entire life. There are several cases like that in the United States and around the world where persons have been found guilty. And later on, through some release of additional information, they see that they're free men. Let us not play foolish when there is knowledge out here. Let us understand a man is innocent
until proven.
Respect a man's innocence.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Duke. I am so glad you talk about the constitution and innocent before, you know.
My 25%, I'll be cutting off just now.
All right. Well, caller, we'll talk after. Mr. Duke, before your phone cut off, I want to tell you thanks very much for joining us. Thank you very much for the extended time on the interview. We would have gotten at least a good 58 or 52 minutes with you, and I wish you all the best in your political endeavors.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
You have spoken well with us this afternoon. I'm sure that the newsroom will take some of the song bites for the 7 o'clock news this evening. So, again, I wish you all the best. I look forward to seeing what you do in the not-too-distant future. And when it comes to the OBI in Tobago, talk to Mr. Fari Augustine and tell him to let the police know. Don't look for that OBI man who wanted to summons other OBI men. Look for the people who killed Dolly Boss. Look for the people who bringing in the guns.
That's right, that's
Pull the,
right,
tell
right.
the police go there because the
OBI,
the real crime. Because while on our law books in 1869 and 1868, when them things was there for people to deal with, I mean, let's be real, you know. The people come with their goat milk or the two black candles and they're lighted by the corner where the license officers and them was conducting the roadblock. I believe we in our country, and when you're talking Obia, is the practice of the Orishas. It's a religious thing. We might see it as Obia, but it's a spiritual thing for the Orisha, all right?
Yeah.
And the Baptist faith and the different faith and the pundits and all they do, their puja is a different thing. So lock up the priests who just come and smoke out our house. You understand what I'm saying?
So 1% now. We have to definitely
All right,
continue.
So we'll talk again Thanks soon. Thank you very much, Mr. Watson.
Good evening, man. Thank you.
Indeed so.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.